Herod did not want to harm St. John, but because of the oath and because of his friends and his military officers and leading men of the country, he gave in through that pressure to put St. John to death, even though he knew he was a righteous man. Because of that peer pressure, that human respect, he gave in. That weakness of character that he had, he gave in. And he didn't have a good heart. He didn't have the fear of God in his mind at all. He was even the daughter of Herodias was coming and dancing, and was sure that dance was a lewd dance, and he was overcome perhaps with lust for her. So he was a very weak man, an evil man, to kill somebody, and his friends were probably guilty of that kind of violence as well. So he was weak, and he gave in to that human respect, and we can think of ourselves and our own weaknesses, the weaknesses of our day in human respect. And you look at a recent event where the Obama administration is now making all healthcare institutions to provide insurance that will pay for contraception, sterilization, and even abortifacient pills in our day. It's reminding us of what happened in 1963 when abortion was made legal, and what kind of opposition was presented by the Catholic Church, by the bishops. At the time, it was weak. The opposition was weak, and the fight was weak. And so we have it, this evil in our land. This is another blow to the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith. It's really an assault to our conscience. And what kind of fight is going to be presented to it, against it? What kind of opposition on the part of the bishops and the part of Catholics? Already it's weak. You know, there are a couple of bishops that have spoken strongly against it and have said that the administration is said to hell with the Catholic Church, and they're forcing this upon the Catholic Church, Catholic faith, which is really what it is. It's against all healthcare institutions have to do this, and they are given 1 year to do it. And but it's really aimed at the Catholic Church, because we are the ones that have the most of the hospitals. And I remember in the beginning of this administration that I said, you know, their focus and their aim and their efforts are really to impose and to destroy the church, destroy the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is the greatest opposition to this this kind of mentality, this anti-life, against population. And I was saying to myself, and you know, many others are saying, that they're going to try to take over the Catholic hospitals, and then what will they do after that? Probably take over the Catholic schools and take over everything. And that's what's really being, it's like an octopus. They're taking over one thing after another, and this is where it is. And that's fine. If they take over the Catholic hospitals, that's fine. But what is not fine is if we let them do it without a fight. You know, we have to, this is really an act of war. This is like a missile shot against the Catholic Church right in the midst of our us. What are we going to do? It's really an act of war, and it should be treated that way, and it should be fought, shot. We're fighting the fight of our Catholic faith, of what is right and what is good, what our own conscience. They're going to force us to pay for abortions, force us to promote contraception. They're going to force us, and many of the bishops are saying that we will not obey this unjust law, and we'll see We'll see. But we as Catholics, we need to have this mentality of fighting this great evil that is come in our day. We cannot give into human respect. We cannot be lazy. We have to stand up. We have to speak. We have to fight. We have to pray. We have to pray. We have to sacrifice. And that's what we must do. And that's what was not done here, of course. Herod didn't do it. In his kingdom, he gave in to that human respect, and he gave in to his lust. And we, in this lust, this court of Herod must have been full of impurity, full of the mire, full of this cesspool of impurity there. And in many ways, we are full of that in our day. It is a cesspool of impurity in our day. When we look at the internet, when we look at the impurity everywhere in society, you know, perhaps you and your family and your upbringing, you are sheltered. I know we friars, I myself, have been sheltered for 14 years in my religious life. We're sheltered, and if you're brought up with a good family, you are sheltered from a lot of the mire and a lot of the stuff, and so maybe you don't even know. I can say I don't even know of all the misery and all the abuse and all the sadness and all the impurity that is in the world today. And in most families, only as the devout Catholic families are sheltered, and so we don't see that, so we don't even know. But maybe you have been exposed to it. Maybe some of you have been exposed to it. We know it is rife. It is everywhere. There is a cesspool in our country and in the world. And we need to do all we can to protect our children, to protect ourselves, to protect everyone we can help and prevent from the sin from spreading. And that's what that is the first thing we have to do. We have to protect. We have to get out of our life, out of our families, out of our own sight. We have to put out of our sight those kinds of temptations. That's the first thing, the easiest thing to do, is to put out of our sight temptations, occasions of sin. Easiest thing, first thing, even before prayer and the sacraments, we must put out of our sight temptations to evil, put out of that, out of our home, the alcohol that is causing alcoholics to sin, put out of our sight the impurity. And so we put our safeguards on the computer and on the television, to put all those safeguards. And that's our duty and our obligation and our first duty and a strict obligation for families, for religious institutes, for superiors. I have to, you know, put protections in the friary. You have to put protections in your family. And that's a serious obligation that you have to do. And then we have this void. We have this void of this evil. What do? We replace it. What do you do if you're not? Your children are not watching television, or not watching movies, or not watching too much entertainment. What do? We have to replace it with good things, holy things. Replace it with work, especially. You know, work is such a powerful thing. It protects. You know, I was just reading the life of Edith Stein, St. Edith Stein, the Jewish woman who converted and died in Auschwitz. She was brought up in a good Jewish family where they were devout, they were hard workers. And the custom in her family was to put the children to work at the age of 4 or 5 years old. At that age, they were learning to sew, they were learning to do different works around the house. And what are we doing today with our children? We teach them work, hard work, and to be diligent, not to be lazy, and think of work as prevents evils. It's prevents the devil's workshop from taking place. It prevents many evils and prevents sin. It prevents a waste of time. But it's also, think of all the good things that work does. It teaches discipline. You know, we get things accomplished, and they learn to their duty. We learn to discipline and duty, and And so many good things come from work, and it is a virtue to be industrious and to learn to be hardworking, and to learn from the youth. Work should be a given. That I must do this. I must do my duty. I must not waste time and not be lazy and slothful. And so this is one of the things we have to do. And even in religious life, is one of the first things in our formation houses, first things I look at, first things our other superiors look at in the those who enter the community and those who are novices. Are they hardworking? And if they're lazy, that's the first sign of those things that had to be weeded out. Any lazy, even St. Francis did that too. We had a friar who was lazy, and he called him the brother fly, and he was gone quickly. And that's the first thing we need to root out, is laziness, and because laziness leads to many, many sins. It's a capital sin and leads to impurity in our world, and we need to replace that slothfulness, that waste of time that leads to sin, replace it with work and diligence. Work, you know, work making things and doing things, but also cleaning. Cleanliness is next to godliness, and cleanliness leads to order, putting disorder out of our life, and disorder and dissipation. Dissipation, same thing as disorder, where your life is scattered, you don't know what you're doing. We need to order our life and plan it out. You know, if we just go with the flow, we just do the next thing that happens, just turn to the next channel, to just do what everyone else wants us to do, we become disordered. You know, we have to order our life, and we need to plan out our life, plan out our day, and what we need to do. That's one of the teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who's saying, you know, we have bad habits in your life. You're trying to straighten out your life. You need to think. You need to plan out. Plan out your day. Plan out what you're going to do to overcome bad habits. And what am I going to do with my day? I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to have a prayer life. How to get things done. You know, I just get overwhelmed by everything and by the mess in my family, by the mess in my church, by the mess in my own life. You just sit down and think for a little while and plan it out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to straighten this out in my life. I'm going to straighten this out. I'm going to clean up my house by taking one thing at a time. And I'm going to think about how I can help my children, how I can help my husband, help my wife, help myself. I need to plan it out, think it out, and it's so much easier. So much easier once you plan it out, order your life. And this is one way to fill in the void of the bad things that are happening in the world. And this is how we really, sanctity is an ordered life. Is an ordered life. We don't want to get too obsessed in regulating everyone else's life and our own life. Of course, we have some flexibility, some freedom for ourselves and for our family and children. We don't want to have a robotic life and too much control, but there needs to be order, and there needs to be order in the family life. There needs to be order in our own spiritual life. And when we have that, we will find that temptations against chastity are going to be much less. They're going to be conquered, and then we turn to the sacraments and prayer and gain that additional strength, that fortitude, and that protection that we all need to live a holy life and to stay away from evil and sin, which really ruins our life and makes us slaves to sin. And so let us turn to Our Lady to ask her to help us to order our life and to help our children and our families and other people to live this kind of order, which is sanctity and holiness. And with order comes happiness and peace and joy. And Our Lady will give that to us, and she will continue to enlighten us. And we need to be totally under her governance, her control, her guidance, and that's our consecration, to be completely under her guidance, our mother, in heaven, and she will help us to serve God and to be safe in this life that's full of dangers.
Christus.